Life Audio.
If you've listened to the Happy Rant for a long time, you will know that for years and years, we partnered with Dwell Bible, the best audio Bible app available out there. And they are sponsoring these last three episodes of the Happy Rant. Dwell Bible, if you're not familiar with it, is, like I mentioned, the best audio Bible available. There are multiple narrators. There are multiple versions. They offer listening plans. So if you want to listen through the Bible in a year or go at a more reflective pace or focus on the letters of Paul or any number of other things, they have plans that will let you do that. The benefits of an audio Bible are so many. Oftentimes, life is too busy to sit down and read, especially if you have small children or if you're on the road a lot. But an audio Bible is something you can do in the midst of something else. So while you're working out, while you're doing yard work, while you're doing chores around the house, while you're commuting, the car is one of the best times. The Bible is then with you. You can listen to it. You can reflect on it. You can rewind and listen again. If you're a Bible teacher or a preacher, this is a great way to infuse the text into you while you prepare to teach or preach. So I want to invite you to visit dwellbible.com/happyrant to check this out, see all their features, and they are offering 30 days free. It's a subscription service, and it is well worth your money. I've been a subscriber now for years. I love it. I use it regularly. Again, that's dwellbible.com/happyrant to get 30 days free. And I'm pretty sure that after that, you will say, this is absolutely worth it. I want to pay for the ongoing subscription. I would encourage you to pay for the lifetime subscription because they are regularly rolling out new features, new narrators, new versions, and they are building this whole thing out to better serve their audience and provide new ways to engage with Scripture.
Hey, welcome to the Happy Rant Podcast. I am Ted Cluck, joined as always in studio by my good friends, my partners in radio, Barnabas Piper and Ron Martin. Boys, these are the last three eps of our life. Where are these people going to find three middle-aged white guys who have a podcast? I don't know. I mean,
people keep giving me recommendations for other shows, none of which I remember, that are like, they're just like the Happy Rant. You would love them. And I'm like, I'm not even sure I like the Happy Rant.
Yeah, exactly. So, that's why we're quitting.
So I'm probably
we're looking for something different.
Dude, how insulting is that? You know, like what you guys are doing, there's so many other things exactly like
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, one of them is by three famous people. So, I mean, I guess that's kind of a compliment. I think it's called Smartless.
Yeah, smart. Well, that is... You don't think it's called Smartless. It is called Smartless.
I don't.
It is three famous. It's okay. Jason Bateman.
I couldn't remember the actual name.
John Hayes. And who's the guy from... I can't think.
If it's not about football, I don't listen to it.
Yeah, you guys know.
I listen to Offensive Line Podcast.
Who is it? Ed Arnett. No. Will Arnett.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so Will Arnett, Bateman, John Hayes.
Which of us is which? If it's just like us.
Oh, interesting.
Hmm.
I'm definitely not Sean Hayes. I think you are, baby.
I'll have to receive that.
Yeah, receive it. You know, chew on it.
I'll have to receive
that. I think I want to be Bateman. Everybody wants to be Bateman, though.
Oh, I can't stand him, so I'll happily take the third
I'll take Bateman.
Yeah.
The problem is I'm probably the most obvious Bateman.
Oh, you're the Bateman. Give me 30 seconds on why you're Bateman.
I don't know. I just think I'm a little more obvious Bateman than when I look at you guys. I don't see Bateman. I don't see Sean Hayes.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm not sure I see maybe a little Will Arnett.
Dude, I think I'm way too masculine knuckle dragger to be Sean Hayes. I'm too much of a troglodyte, so that's off the table.
Yeah. I don't know what troglodyte means, though, but that's...
Yeah, Sean Hayes wouldn't like it.
That must be a football term.
Yeah, sure it is. What are they teaching you there at Midwestern? You've almost got a doctorate. You got to learn some vocab, baby.
And here come the troglodytes. Give it up for the Denver Raiders.
Exactly. Boys, we did something. I wonder if the people have noticed this dynamic. I feel like the minute we decided to end the program, the episodes got better. And we started having fun with them again. And, you know, it's
can I tell a little bit about what we're talking about backstage, how that came about?
Yeah, go ahead.
So they had done an app where they, and after the app...
One of the two or three dozen that Ronnie wasn't on.
Right.
Per month.
Guys, I'm busy doing other more unsuccessful things, I said earlier. So they do the app.
Midwestern work ethic you've got.
Then the next week, it's me and It's me and Pipe doing the ep. And so after the ep, Pipe literally goes, hey, man, so I need to run something by you. Me and Ted were talking about, like, maybe it's... I said, oh, we're done. We're done. Let's be done. Like, he didn't even get the word
I was gonna
out
of
his mouth.
Soft pitch it, not sure how Enneagram yeah. 4 was, would feel about the loss of a creative outlet.
I said, oh, no, we are shutting this thing down.
No, that's interesting to me that you were so quick to hit the trigger on shutting it down.
It was eject immediately.
But you seem so conflicted about it tonight.
Well, I caught him mid sabbatical, one of the few he takes per year.
One of the and, mid which one?
Yeah. Yes. So, and so it was. I think it was a particularly like
criticizing a guy for
time.
Knowing how to live life. It's yeah. amazing.
It was an especially yeah. hard sabbatical. You know, the meal was a little slow coming out.
You know, if I could get into this for a minute, I would be able to tell you that indeed it was a hard sabbatical. That's for another time in another place.
Okay, yeah.
That's until next time.
You should start a podcast called Hard Sabbatical.
And it, dude.
It would engage a lot
dude,
of things that are...
Hard Sabbatical has legs.
I know, dude.
Hard
I wanna,
Sabbatical has
You know
legs.
I want a little piece of the action, though.
I will.
You can
know.
Talk to my guy after yeah. the thing. But I think Hard Sabbatical has legs.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think I'm... I'm so nostalgic, baby. That's
yeah.
the problem.
Talk about that. Oh, are you feeling are you feeling nostalgic for like this already? Like what we've accomplished over the last
You know what
decade?
It is? This is what it is. Like I remember
our achievements.
I remember going to shows
such a long list.
When I was a kid.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So I'd go to shows and the band would be breaking up. Mm. And the thing was always for me like why can't you just keep going?
Yeah.
Like
sure.
give me a reason why you can't just record more songs.
Sure.
What's the biggie?
Yeah, and they're like, we hate each other. We're throwing plates at each other's heads backstage.
Right? Like, it's like literally violent.
Gee, it's
for
easy
us to make
yeah,
these records,
right.
Yeah,
yeah.
And then I'm looking at all these great people, and I'm thinking they're going to get ready to like say that to us in between segments.
Right? Yeah,
it's like, why can't you just keep doing this?
Because we're
you know
old.
What, you know what I see when I look out there? I see a bunch of strong Midwesterners who are going to set their jaw and be just fine. You know what I mean? These people are made of strong stuff.
So
dude.
They're just going to lie. That's what I've found.
Yes.
Yeah. Lie through the tears.
The quietest liars
Look,
I've ever met.
Everybody lies you know. About something. Southerners lie about being nice. Midwesterners lie about being fine. West Coasters,
totally.
I don't know what they...
They're just liars. They don't have time to lie.
They lie with like Botox
They're having
and
too
stuff.
Much fun to
yeah.
lie.
You're going to have to get on the chaise lounge with your therapist and do the hard work of talking through this thing. Okay?
Baby, you just assumed everybody here is a Midwesterner. How many people are Midwesterners here?
Yeah, shout out the Midwest. Let's
every
go.
Every single person.
Let's go.
It was
go.
A correct assumption.
Hey, Florida. We got a Floridian. Love it.
Floridian.
He didn't raise his hand. There was a half
any,
a dozen.
Any West Coasters, so I don't feel so alone here? Oh, I feel alone.
Zero. Yeah.
I am quite alone.
None.
I am quite alone in the world.
Wait a minute. I thought you were the small town pastor.
Yeah,
I mean...
Only for 13 years,
yeah,
baby.
Yeah.
Hey, somebody
these
had to
are your
the
people.
Book.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, book. I know yeah. a title like that. But boys, the episodes have had a certain kind of energy the last few weeks as we've wound things down here, and we're going to wind them out in style tonight. But we did one last week where we did some like kind of misty-eyed, backward gazing at high school. We took this kind of period of our life. We talked about it. We talked personas. We did some storytelling. And the feedback on that has been tremendous. So I thought for this first ep, we would do that with college or like college age memories. So like when we were in our early 20s, getting established. I know, baby. So
I'm going to go grab something to eat real quick.
Yeah, yeah. Go grab a break. You can take a little sabbatical during the ep, you know.
I would love that.
But kind of the way we did this last time was we can just talk about where we were in life, kind of what our context was, what life looked like, and then I've got questions. So so yeah. Early 20s, college.
Maybe can you be more specific? Like get us down the road a little bit with that.
Yeah, so okay. So let's go end of high school through like senior year of college. So that's like 18 to 22. I was graduating from Blackford County High School there in Empty Factory, Indiana, Hartford City. Shout out Hartford City. And going up the
Empty
road.
Empty Factory was actually a city name because isn't there like a Gas City, Indiana?
There is Gas City.
So I'm like, Empty Factory sounds like legitimate
we played,
city
We
name.
Played Gas City. They were dirty, those guys. But
Gas City.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it sounds like a dream.
Such a great town.
Yeah, yeah. It's a great town.
A lot of dreams in Gas City.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of dreams. But no, I matriculated up the road to Taylor University.
Did you know the word matriculate at that age? Like, were you the 18-year-old who used the word matriculate?
I've never used that word in any of my writing.
I did, but I learned it in football. There was this coach called Hank Stram who used to say matriculate the ball down the field.
Dude, could there be a more coachy name than Hank Stram?
No, I wish my name was Hank Stram. Yeah. I'm going to start a podcast called The Hank Stram Show.
I mean, if a coach came up to me and said, my name's Hank Stram, my first response is, that's a lie.
Yeah.
Oh, that's probably because you're a Midwesterner.
My first response is, when do I go to work for you? Yeah, I'll do anything.
Hire me.
Hank Stram.
Clean the offices, break down the film.
When's the last time literally a child was born and the parents named him Hank?
Dude, there's probably hipsters ironically naming their kid Hank. Do you guys have a Hank?
Hanks are on the way back.
You mean Henry,
though. Dude,
let's
go.
We're talking about Henry.
Hey,
whoa. Like Hanks.
Breaking news. I'm going to cue up the breaking news jingle.
Good.
We have a couple here in the crowd. They have a kid named Hank. So how old is your Hank? 14.
Oh, you're hipster Hank.
That's not new. That's
like,
not new school.
Sub 7 years old. There's a ton of Hanks out there.
Is
but
he
you,
named
you,
Henry for real?
That's amazing.
It's straight Hank.
That's outstanding.
I would only ever do a straight Hank if I had.
He's
a son.
Washing his hands of the decision.
I had a daughter, so I had no choice in the matter.
See, that's
can you name a daughter Hank?
I don't know. You could probably do anything
These
you
days
want
you
now.
Do whatever you want.
Talk to my wife. Maybe we can rethink that.
No,
she's only 28. So
Hank is all of the other sort of classic dude names that are back with.
No, I know they're
kids,
back with a vengeance.
Kids who are poorly disciplined.
We're gonna insult
and whatever
this couple,
else.
You're like, we already.
No, I said they're hipsters. They did it early. They're like 7-8 years ahead of the trend.
Yeah,
absolutely. So where we were at, kind of in life. So for me, it would have been Taylor University. I'm in this like gilded North Face campus. I'm one of the 100 dirtbags that's there to play football, trying to figure out my persona, trying to meet girls. Met my lady
Devil.
There. Yeah.
Was the football persona at Taylor like long hair, Conan the Barbarian look? Like, did everybody just sort of constantly look unshowered, stringy?
No, you were like one iteration after us.
Okay.
Ours was like buzz cut, t-shirts a couple sizes too small.
Okay.
Maybe like a ripped up flannel, work boots, jeans.
A lot of creatine involved. A
lot of creatine. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, none of our kidneys were healthy, you know. just kind of stomping around, trying to fit in, trying to figure stuff out, trying to figure out what we believed, you know. It was a different time. So where were you? You were at Wheaton.
I did go to Wheaton. So
yeah,
moved from Minneapolis to Wheaton and discovered that there are places in the world where only white people live.
Yeah. Wheaton is one of them.
Yeah.
Right.
And,
or that, Indiana.
easy.
That was shocking to me, in its own right after being at a pretty, pretty diverse high school and living in the inner city. And, so made the adjustment to Wheaton sort of. I had a fantastic college experience that did not involve going to class.
Mm.
So I was on academic probation after one semester and stayed on it for at least two more.
All right, I want to lean into that. So you're at Wheaton, you're kind of feeling yourself. You're out of the household of John Piper, and that first that first little report card drifts through his transom. And you're on academic probation. It's not like now.
So here's
dude.
The thing. The great thing about college is they don't send your grades to your parents.
Yeah.
They send them to you, and you get to decide what you tell your parents.
Yeah.
And I tried to play that one off. I didn't do a very good job. But I will also say, if you've grown up in the household of John Piper and you want to escape his shadow, going to his alma mater is stupid.
Not great.
Great. Day one of college, move-in day. I think I've told this story.
I love this story.
So move-in day, you know, drive up in the big minivan loaded full of suitcases and whatever else, and walk into the dorm to check in. And I check in, and the girl checking us in is like, oh, there's a guy who's been waiting over here for you for like 2 hours. I was like, oh, who? I don't know anybody in Wheaton. Mm-hmm. And I look, I don't know who this guy is. It's a guy who just lived in town. He's my age. And was a huge fan of my dad's and just really wanted to help me move in.
That must have felt so validating, a huge fan of your dad's.
It was so great. Yeah, I'm here to escape my dad's shadow. So a guy who's a big fan of my dad's waits to help me move into college, which means he knows where I live and what room I live in. I'm like, this isn't at all creepy.
Thanks for affirming me, Hank, is what you wanted to say, right?
He's here tonight, actually. It's Josh Byers, everybody. Let's clap it up. No.
Gave him a free ticket to the show.
Hank's dream.
But yeah, so that... My parents were surprisingly cool about me being a terrible student. I think because they basically were like, well, he's either going to figure it out or flunk out.
Mm-hmm.
And flunking out would save them a lot of money. So
what was your kind of personal rubric? And then we'll get to Ronnie's context and I'll do some more questions. What was your personal like skipping class paradigm? Did you feel guilty or did you like run it through like a mental checklist? Like,
no, I had a, if you grow up in John Piper's house,
mm-hmm.
You either feel guilty all the time or you learn to kill all guilt.
Okay.
I fall in the latter category. I had to learn how to feel guilty. That's called sanctification.
Uh-huh.
And and so I didn't feel guilty about anything.
Mm.
And my decision-making process was, this class seems like a waste of time. I'm not going.
Yeah.
That was it. That was the entirety of it. Which
AKA school.
That I have a 17-year-old, I'm like, that's profoundly stupid. And also, it makes so much sense.
Yeah.
I don't know. I kind of still think it makes sense.
So here's
it does, except that you've paid for it. So like the calculus of what makes something worth it is has expanded as I've gotten older. I'm like, oh, there's an investment in this. I should probably at least give a modicum of effort.
At least.
Yeah.
Here was my process. So my parents are in the house tonight. Let's clap it up for Ted and Karen. We'll clap it up for my parents.
The original Ted.
Yeah. And they were kind enough to help send me to Taylor, and they weren't real like staunch check-in on the academics people, but I remember a message of like, don't skip class, you know.
I probably got that one too.
Yeah, and I was like, I need to honor this. I really want to honor my parents and not skip class. But then my process was like, I would get in there, and if I was bored, I would begin to like see where the doors were and see where I was in relationship to the door. And if the class was big enough, I would just kind of scoot out, you know? I was a big leave early guy. And it was tough if the class was small, because they really
would notice. Do you have anybody in your classes now that try to pull that maneuver?
They don't, dude. Yeah, they don't. If they did, it would
change
hurt my
the door
feelings.
Shut.
Yeah, it would definitely hurt my feelings. But baby, where were you in the kind of 18 to 22?
Well, dude, so
realm
all right,
of your life.
So John Francis Martin, mm-hmm. my dad, he was...
is coming back too,
yeah,
by
Francis
the way.
Is coming back big.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. He was a self-made man.
Okay.
And what I mean by that is he was kind of one of these super anti-education guys.
Mm.
So there was no encouragement towards college. It was
okay.
Like, get a real job, son, you know, kind of a thing.
He's like, son, I want you
That's
to grow
good.
Up and
you
get a podcast
music.
With two
yeah.
other middle-aged yeah. men.
No, so he was like,
into, like,
he'd be so proud.
Electronic music.
I'm like, what if I want to be a doctor, Dad? He goes, oh, you should figure it out on your own. You know, it's
right.
one of those
self-taught,
things.
Bootstrap right. it. Yeah.
So he was like the guy that was
he got
like,
the boots part.
Yeah.
He was
right.
like
we
the guy that was like, you can go to college, but I wouldn't recommend it.
Uh-huh.
You should come work for me. You know, he was that.
There
guy.
You go. Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah. So John, I don't know.
Which is what all kids in our tribe are doing now. So
I mean, my third run through seminary just coming to an end. I don't know what that should have woken this guy up from the dead.
Yeah.
He's been dead since 2007, right?
Yeah.
So it is insane to me that this is what happened
yeah.
in my life.
My kid can't stop going to colleges now.
Right, yeah, know? Right.
It's
right.
like
perpetual
an addiction.
College.
Yeah.
And that would be the John thing. Oh, you send these kids to college, that's all they want to do. They're never going to work. You know, it's like
yeah,
one of
right,
those things.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, sabbatical in college sums up a good portion of your life, so he may be on
to something. I don't even know if I'm his son.
You need a Covenant Eyes guy for, like, college applications.
Hey, we didn't do paternity tests back then, you know? Yeah. There's no proof that I'm this guy's kid.
You're like, oh, this degree program in ministry that meets in Dubai twice a year. That sounds good. You know, maybe I need this credential. You know.
Actually, I just want to teach that now, right?
There you go. Yeah, that's the move, dude.
He wants the Australian.
That's
intensive.
Where the real money is.
That's
teaching.
Where me and Jared C are going to start a seminary out in Dubai.
Oh, I know.
By the way, Jared C and Becky C in the house right there, back there.
Oh, I didn't know we were going to acknowledge them.
Okay. Like that.
Yeah. Ronnie's employer, you know.
You know.
Couple days a week, clean the pool, no
Ronnie's
big deal. Just
John,
in and out
yeah,
in a couple
those,
hours. Yeah. Just get the chemicals right.
So that was my story.
Yeah.
So my story was skipping. So I skipped out of my senior year of high school. I only need to take Bible class in English. So I only went to school 1 hour a day during my senior year.
Mm-hmm.
Worked for the old man and graduated as valedictorian with, wait for it, a 3.5.
That a boy.
3.5.
Yeah.
Didn't you say that was because of tenure?
You had to have tenure there. So whoever was there the longest, you added it all together, and that's the guy that, you know, that won.
Mm,
you know,
nice
so
time.
Ivan was the guy who actually probably had a 5.6, right? He was the guy going to the Ivy League school.
Tough little deal for Ivan. A lot of
tough little
there.
Deal for Ivan. I remember going up to Ivan and I just said, dude, I'm so sorry. I know this is yours. To which he replied, I know.
So
I know.
Did you have to give a speech as valedictorian?
Yeah. So I had to. So this is what I had to do. I had
what
to
was
give,
the nature of it?
I had to give a speech.
Follow your dreams kind
I
of thing?
Had to, yeah. I had yeah. to play. I had to play a piano solo.
Oh.
Like I did the whole show. I don't even know what else.
No,
it was a graduating class of 9 people.
Okay.
Small private school.
9 people. Wow.
Nine
it must have taken forever.
But there were hundreds of people at the graduation somehow.
Man,
you started
the small church pastoring thing.
I really did. Man. That's what I'm saying.
So, did you
there's
get to
some clout there.
Yeah, there's some clout, there's some background. Right. Did you get to pick the piano number or did they assign it to you?
No, so it was an original.
Did you play some like Smiths song Morrissey thing?
This is so funny, and this is so on brand for me too. I told Big M this the other day. I literally went up and just made something up.
There you go.
That's all it was. I just vamped because I can vamp, you know. And I vamped something for 4 minutes, and it was like, oh, my gosh. Just one woman comes up and goes, Ronnie, you got to give me some sheet music on that. And I said, no problem.
Get right on it. Yeah. Now, walk me through the speech. How were you going, what, like 5 to 7 minutes? You're shuffling your notes?
Or I mean, it was
no
like,
cards? Three by like, fives?
No cards.
Yeah, okay.
It was 1 minute. I thanked my parents for like going broke the last... 11 years of my private school education.
Your dad wasn't there. He was at work.
So here's the funniest part about it. Yeah. So the old man had not made my tuition payment yet that month.
Yeah.
And when they handed me the diploma, it was blank.
Oh.
It was blank.
They weren't messing around.
I mean, it's insane they would hand me a blank diploma. Like,
they didn't know if he was good for it.
It's so classless, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm walking up there like every other kid. And I get it, and I unscroll that thing, and I'm like, they must have made a mistake.
Son of a...
And I literally went up to the teacher. I said, hey, look, this thing's blank. And he goes, I hate to tell you this right now, because I know this is a big night for you, but dad hasn't made the tuition payment yet.
Hey, you know, money never sleeps.
Right.
You know?
So, yeah, there's some interesting developments.
You know, in these non-accredited little Christian high schools, you're not allowed to put words on the diploma if you don't have accreditation.
Nobody knows how to write words in those non-accredited Christian high schools.
It's all theoretical.
Stepping on some toes there.
Yeah, stepping on some toes.
So what did you do after? So you graduated valedictorian and springboarded from all of this success into...
Yeah, it's all
working
music
for
stuff.
Pops.
All music stuff.
Working for Pops, doing
working
music.
Working for Pops.
Yeah.
Because it was a schedule that kind of... He gave me time to like do that stuff. So it was spending every drop on equipment.
Dude, I have a laser-specific question on that.
Yeah, throw it out there.
Because when we get in this like backward-gazing headspace, I get real John Hughes-y with it, and I'm writing the movies of these things in my mind.
I mean, it was very John Hughes-y, if I'm being honest.
No, I know, right? Yeah, no, it's super fun
I mean,
to think
about.
It was
the era. It
was the era.
It is John Hughes, right? Yeah.
So as you're like, you're going to work at your Pops trucking company.
Hating every solitary second.
That was my question. Were you all kind of mopey and slouchy about it?
So
like,
mopey.
Oh, I'm an artiste. I'm
so mopey. I hated every minute of it.
Dude, and how much did like the real workers there like resent you? Did they hate your guts, dude? Like, this is just the owner's kid.
Dude, no, because the old man.
Like, they see you in the break room, they don't talk to you?
I mean, he's like the ex-Navy guy, right? So he's like, he has so much gosh darn integrity.
Yeah.
That, like,
he's
like,
making you do
like
it. He's making you
do
the work.
More than them, right?
Yeah, no, I like that, dude.
He doesn't want it to look like
good
that,
for him.
Right?
Yeah,
good for him.
No, good for him. Pipe and I support him.
That's right.
He's a good father. Yeah.
How about supporting some nepotism, boys?
Yeah, exactly. Dude, so he's making, he's got a broom in your hand. You're there 5 minutes before.
No, I mean, I'm driving. He owned a delivery service, so I'm doing everything.
Yeah.
I'm doing everything.
Wow.
And I'm doing all the grunt stuff that nobody wants to do. I'm making deliveries at
Big Rig?
18
wheeler?
Well, I don't know. No, you drive that way at 18.
Yeah.
So I'm driving the little delivery courier
there you
cars.
Go. Yeah.
You know, kind of a thing because I can't drive trucks.
Yeah.
Because you can't get insured at that age.
Yeah. You're doing your part, though.
I was doing my part, man. I was making, making some cash.
Yeah. Buying equipment, buying gear.
Buying equipment, that's all we were doing.
Dreaming big dreams of the boys there in the band. Yeah.
None of them were going to come true as big as this dream has come true, Ob.
Yeah. But, I mean,
you know.
We had 75 people in a room. What could be bigger?
Then I had this. I had some
goodness,
offers.
I just,
so ironically, I had some offers to go to seminary like at that time. It was the weirdest thing because I was. Sort of had 1 foot in ministry and
offers
ministry
like you're a recruit, like you're a five star, like you're Justin Fields, like.
Well, it was some of these like seminaries that you didn't have to like apply to get into, right?
Okay, yeah.
It was more like church based, like Bible camp seminary, you know.
What and are they sending you letters in the mail? They got the letterhead. They're like, Ronnie, we'd love to see you.
Aren't you even based out of like Moscow, Idaho, or anything?
No, okay. Moscow, Idaho. Just easy, pal.
Easy, we'll easy get pal. There. Yeah,
we'll get there.
I like that guy. It's my
but
guy.
I turned them all flat down. I turned them all flat down because I said someday I'm going to pay a lot of money to go to 3 seminaries.
Yes,
and that's exactly
right.
What I did.
Yeah.
I stuck to my principles.
I'd rather wait till it's more expensive.
I'd rather
the degree
wait till it's more
less.
Expensive and completely irrelevant.
Right.
And I'm old and tired, and my mind is
old
less pliable.
Old and tired and literally so angry. Mainly in my current state at Jared C. Wilson, who roped me into this last one.
Yeah. Now, what's that dynamic like? Are you...
No.
Are you calling him at night with like questions on the homework, or are you laying there on the bed with your legs kicked up
twirling
and twirling the phone cord?
I mean, I'm just
like, Jared, I'm having trouble on number 3. You know, well, what'd you get for it?
Well, I'm just
I don't
struggling
know.
With friendship,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
I feel like because he's on staff at Midwestern, like I just got kind of roped into this thing without knowing why or how, and before I know it, You know, here I am, like, doing the program, and I don't know what kind of money he's skimming off the top of my degree. I don't have any idea about what's going on with that stuff.
I just know
that I'm a guy that just finished writing a dissertation, but my boy Jared C., who's doing the program at the same time as me, not quite done yet, if you get my drift.
But he did sign
six book contracts in the time he was supposed to be writing a dissertation.
Yeah, correct. Yeah. There is that.
Yeah.
There
so a little that. Tough in the lunchroom. You got your lunch. You it's see Jared at a table. You're a little reticent to go over. I get it.
It's a little tough in the lunchroom.
We've all been there. So as you think about this time of life, and this could be now for you, actually. Let's do this. let's do backward gazing college stuff. Let's do current for you since you're in college.
Yeah.
You're a requisite, like... I'm supposed to be excited because you're wearing a backpack, you know, and
I'm not in. I just finished my paper. I'm good.
You're riding the longboard to class, you know. Yeah, clap it up. You just finished a paper.
Did you make your payment this semester?
You know,
little MLA style.
I don't really care if the diploma has anything on it, man. See, I'm used to getting the blank diploma.
Did you get the formatting right in the MLA, the source citations?
I literally have no idea.
Inside
what
the parentheses?
Said.
Yeah. Yeah. With the page.
Formatting? I don't even know what that word means.
So, Piper, as you think about this, like, college era of your life, what were, like, what was, like, maybe a song and a movie that, like, influenced you? As you think about your pop culture consumption, they were planks in the persona platform.
I feel like
maybe a song, a record, a movie, whatever you think.
That's a good question.
I mean, this was the era when movies were called like "She's So Crazy," right, and stuff like that.
I guess. "She's So Crazy." It's a classic.
They're playing like Fat Boy Slim songs. Everybody's like choreographing in the gym, right? That's your era, right?
No, it's true. Yeah,
that's
early
the
2000s.
Yeah. I'm not knocking it. John Hughes was not like, you know.
Yeah, well, no.
College was shocking, I'm sure, to all of you, a particularly contrarian period in my life. Which means that I don't know that I had any taste as much as I disliked everybody else's taste.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but my freshman year...
You were really set up for the Young Restless Reform Movement, by the way.
Oh, I was just...
You were just...
Primed for cage stage, ready to be mad at everybody.
You were just poised.
Insist that I was the smartest one in the room. Yeah, yeah. It was great. Everybody loved me. I roomed next to an aspiring filmmaker.
Oh, boy. That guy was always a fun time in college.
They have those at Christian college?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, they just haven't seen any movies.
It's because they... They saw Requiem for a Dream once and were like, this is the apex.
They're like, now I'm
going to
make The Chosen. Right.
And so it was him and then like the brooding philosophy major rooming together.
That's a fun
so
room.
One of them was filmmaker, artiste, and the other was brooding philosophy major who only listened to Radiohead. So what I determined was I hate all of that.
Nobody's playing Madden in that room.
I hate
room
artsy
late at night.
Films. I hate Radiohead. That hasn't changed.
Yeah.
And I hated philosophy, which hasn't really changed all that much either. I don't know that I have anything seminal as much as I was more like, well, not that and not that.
You knew
that.
What you were against.
Yeah. I roomed with a guy who was a big U2 fan. That was still like, at some point U2 became like the whipping band of jokes. Like everybody's like, oh, U2, they suck. And I was like, I don't know when they started sucking. But maybe it was when Apple forced them on us a few years ago. But in the early 2000s, U2 was kind of... Yeah. Peak. It was,
well, they
you know,
kind of they had a resurgence right at that time.
Yeah. Bono's saving the world. He's like going to Congress.
Doing the
world again. They're selling out stadiums and everybody's calling it a religious experience and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of that era. So I got into YouTube
like
a little bit. Yeah. Yeah, huge.
Very similar.
Our light show is 75
people in a room that seats 150. I'm not better. You know, religious experience.
In terms of seminal, it was really was more an exercise in like. Being a jerk.
Yeah. Interesting.
Probably.
Dude, for me, the guys that I played football with, we really latched onto this movie called Tombstone. Any Tombstone fans? Yeah, yeah. I'm a huge let's clap it up for Tombstone.
Kurt Russell, right?
Kurt Russell, Val Kilmer.
It's an incredible film.
I watch it annually, watched it.
Yeah.
Pulled the trigger on this t-shirt. This is Doc Holliday. It says say when. I wanted to embody that character. Like 19-year-old me.
Which would Doc Holliday?
Doc Holliday. Okay. Yeah, I just everything
Doc
that came
was
out
your guy.
Doc was my guy. All right. Everything he said was really cool. He looked really confident. Like, he didn't have trouble talking to people. I thought it would be an...
He had trouble talking at all.
Yeah, well, yeah, when he, as he was hacking up a lung at the right. end, to put a fine point on it. I didn't want that part, necessarily. Right, but right.
Is that when you started smoking, too? Just to be like, Doc?
I didn't experiment with smoking until much later. But no, I thought Doc was great. And record-wise, it was like heavy metal that would scare Taylor kids. You know what I mean? I had this poster in my room.
Like Linkin Park?
No. This is pre that. There was this metal band called Pantera.
Yes.
And they had a cover. They had a record called Vulgar Display of Power. And the cover was like a fist hitting a face in slow motion. And I thought this would be a really nice idea to put that up in the dorm. And I wondered why girls didn't enjoy dropping by there, you know, for like open dorm hours.
And so like they didn't have rules against
that. I was doing everything wrong. No, if it had said like a bad word, they would have made me take it down. It. But it was just a fist hitting a face.
Just
so
a
no
vulgar display of power.
Yeah, no exactly. No, that was nice. It was a nice workaround.
That's actually how people at Taylor would describe something profane.
Right.
Like, that was a vulgar display of power.
Right.
That's
right.
So they thought it was very articulate.
Yeah.
I had some nice conversations with my RA about it. You know, it was a good conversation good starter.
Hey, listeners. These last three episodes of the Happy Rant podcast are brought to you by the New English Translation of the Bible, and particularly the Timeless Truths Bible that they have put out. The New English Translation is the newest full translation from the original languages. So not just a revision of a previous translation, but a fresh new translation by a collection of wonderful scholars. It's a great translation. It's one that I look forward to using in my next reading of the Bible. I like to change translations every year or two to keep it fresh, to see things that I might have otherwise missed, and I'm eager to dig into the New English Translation. The Timeless Truths Bible is one that they have just released, which includes devotional notes and commentary from a variety of theologians and pastors, but not just contemporary ones, going back to the era of the church fathers from the second century all the way up to the present day. So being able to see how the Bible has been translated, has been understood, and how the gospel is coherent across the centuries. It includes creeds and confessions that date back to those early centuries of the faith as well. Again, seeing the foundation that our faith is built on. And then it's beautifully designed with wonderful artwork. If you go to timelesstruthsbible.com, that's timelesstruthsbible.com, you can learn more about it, you can order a copy, you can check out the whole translation. Again, it's the New English Translation. We encourage you to do so. I'm eager to get my hands on one of these Bibles and to dig into this wonderful new translation from Thomas Nelson Bibles.
Baby, what about you? Seminal movie, seminal like musical experience.
I mean, it was all just kind of your alternative, you know, snobby,
yeah.
John Hughes 80s stuff, like The Smiths and New Order, you know, all of that kind of stuff. All the music that all of your friends that you surrounded yourself was listening to, but you all convinced yourselves you were the only ones listening to that.
Right.
That
yeah.
Music. Yeah.
Just me and the 100 people I know. That
just
listen
yeah.
To the
just yeah. Just insufferable. Like snobbiness, like we, yeah. Like nobody gets what we're nobody gets.
So if
what
you
we're
went to a
here.
Show and it was, you know, 3,000 people there, were you mad at the other 2,980?
That's a great question. Were you side eyeing them and like evaluating those people
no,
to see
because,
like how in they were?
No,
you know
because
what I mean?
At the time, because we were still in Christian culture, right? So
mm-hmm.
we were
so
no,
there weren't 3,000 person.
No,
concerts.
there were not. We were going to sort of the Christian alternative. Sort of like versions of those artists.
Now, was there Christian mope rock? That's
oh,
that
yeah.
seems sort of at odds with
yeah.
there itself.
Yeah. There were some bands at the time.
Yeah. Now, and, what would a Christian mope rock show have looked like?
So it like
happy people pretending to be sad,
yeah,
or
much.
Like yeah,
yeah,
okay.
pretty much.
And then asking you to sponsor a compassion child.
Yeah. Okay. No, exactly. No. That's
we're
not
going to play
did.
Until you.
That was much. That was Nashville.
Yeah.
That's what Nashville understood. But no, these would be
I had
like
that experience.
These would be like bands playing like a theater put on by a church in SoCal with you know sometimes there'd be 300 to 500 people there.
Yeah.
It was like. It was like an event.
Yeah.
You know, it was a happening.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But, I mean, that's what me, my brother, I mean, there's all the stuff that influenced us. For
so you guys kind of together
did.
Are like, it's 85 and sunny every day. My dad makes 7 figures in Silicon Valley, but we're really bummed out. You know,
yeah,
we're just going to kind of mope around together, work it out.
I
here.
Mean, well, you I know. Mean, SoCal is known as being like Depeche Mode made it in the States because of their influence in Southern California specifically.
Now, that's fascinating.
So,
I didn't
yeah,
know
it's
that.
Super fascinating. Like, so it's
no, it's not.
I would think they
culture.
Would have made it in somewhere like cold and northeast.
I know.
First. So,
I mean,
or somewhere academic.
They've made it everywhere in the world, but like they did this thing in Southern California in the 80s where they just exploded. They're selling out like the Rose Bowl and all this kind of stuff.
Not the, so the Rose Bowl?
Yeah.
That's insane, dude. Yeah, yeah. I had no idea this was part of the history.
Yeah. So like there was something about sort of this like this sort of this sunny SoCal disposition thing. And they just really, really were drawn to like bands like The Cure and Depeche Mode and just these really melancholy.
This is what West Coasters lie about.
I mean, I'm just
back to that point.
The Rose Bowl sold out pipe. I don't know what
that's wild.
No,
dude.
What I mean is like there's a sunny disposition and everything's cool. Yeah, yeah. And then they're like, there's like this secret angst.
Well, it's just, it's like everybody's depressed. Like they're just depressed in a different way.
I have one more question on this and then we'll get to the next one.
They're just depressed in a sunny way, you know?
Shoot, I forgot it, dude. I had another question, well, laser specific
like
on that. Yeah, it's feeling like a show.
Guys, let me check my text message.
Little CTE here. Moment for the boy. I want to, as we think about this time period, strengths and weaknesses. Like, what did we do well? Where were we deficient? 18 to 22.
Trying to think of anything I did well.
Oh, I'm sure there's a few.
Sarcasm.
Things, yeah.
Jackassery.
Uh huh.
Cage staging.
How did that manifest at Wheaton? Were you like the whisper the funny thing in the classroom guy, or were you more out front with it? Or
it depends on how much I didn't like the person I was going to make fun of.
Okay.
You know, because there was a lot of just sort of peanut gallery, so you kind of sit in a place and you kind of mutter to the people around you and you get them laughing, so you get kind of sidelong glances from professors or chapel speakers or whoever. But if I really didn't like somebody, then I was happy to put them on blast in public, which is a thing I feel very bad about now. Very often I think I owe an apology to almost everybody I knew in college.
Yeah.
For something.
Yeah.
John MacArthur's
good.
Waiting for that right now.
What's that? You say John is?
I didn't say anything.
I've apologized to him.
Did professors treat you differently because of who your dad was? Did you get that vibe at all?
A couple. Honestly, mostly on the, they overcompensated in a helpful way. So there was in one of my New Testament classes, I was a Bible major. Because it was the only thing I was good at. We were coming to the part in New Testament survey where we were going to look at the text on men's and women's roles in the church. Mm. And he pulled me aside. So he's like, you know, this is a Friday. He's like, all right, we're going to start this on Monday. And he pulled me aside on the way out of class and he said, I know your dad co-wrote like the book on complementarianism. You don't need to come to class if you don't want to. And this was one of those guys where like you skip two classes and you get docked a letter grade. And he's like, you don't need to come to class if you don't want to, which was very kind of him. And then I proceeded to show up. He was an egalitarian. And then I argued with him like the punk that I was.
Attaboy.
Because
he didn't want you to come to class, dude.
I know.
He's like, you know what? Here's $50. Don't spend it all in one place, sweetheart. You know.
Up to that point in the semester, I basically just sort of drooled my way through that class, just utterly bored. And then that
but you're
was
like,
the
ooh,
unit
I
that
have
I'm
an
like,
argument.
I'm like, all right, here we go. And I'm sure I thought I was brilliant.
Did you really know all? Did you really have all your CBMW stuff down pat, man? I mean, at that age.
I mean. In the sense of being able to spit arguments that I had heard, yes.
Okay, all right.
In terms of what I actually thought, I was 18.
You didn't
19.
Really care.
So how did you acquit yourself in that argument, and how did the professor do? Did it fluster him that you were coming at him in such a way?
I mean, this is he's one of the leading like scholars on John and various parts of the New Testament. He's brilliant, and I wasn't. And so I think it was a little bit like when a dad wrestles with a four-year-old.
He was getting a kick out of it.
And the dad lies down and the four-year-old's like, I've got you pinned. That was me.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh,
he's throwing
no,
you up in the air
no,
a couple times just because he can.
I was like, oh, this hurts so much. You're so strong. I think he was giving me that treatment. That's in retrospect. At the time, I was certain that I won.
He's letting you win a little
in
bit.
Ministry. That's cute.
So, he was gracious about it, though. He didn't. He didn't slice and dice like I'm sure he could have.
Yeah,
and run circles around me intellectually.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
What a kind-hearted egalitarian.
What about you, baby? Strengths and weaknesses?
They are out there, Ronnie.
Oh man, hold on. Big M just texted me. I must have said something.
Is it the egalitarian humor?
It probably
was. Yeah.
Hold on.
You want to read it out loud? Share it with the group.
Let me see what we're doing here. You said you're really texting. I am. I have stuff going on.
Yeah, what do you got going on?
I just have the show going on.
Sabbatical's a busy thing, Ted. He's got things going on.
I've been off for 5 weeks.
Crazy we're ending this. I can't imagine why, you know.
Oh, man. I don't know, man. That's a great question. Strengths and weaknesses. I had no confidence. So I was one of those
really?
Guys. Yeah, zero.
I would have benefited from some of that.
Yeah. I would have benefited from some of that, maybe.
Mm-hmm. No.
Yeah, so I think that was like kind of the paralyzing thing for me was that it was, I think it was just, I had all these big aspirations,
mm-hmm.
but I never really believed I was going to get to any of them. Turns out I was
correct
on many of those.
Now, you weren't hanging
I wasn't wrong.
Right? You weren't hanging your confidence out on that 3.4 GPA
in
the valedictorian?
I mean, I wasn't, you know? And so it was, I think that was probably the big thing was like, we talked about this before.
Yeah.
I was super driven.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would work kind of tirelessly at things that I was trying to pursue.
Yeah.
But the whole time I'm like, it ain't going to work out.
You were hedging. You were hedging emotionally, which I get. Yeah. I totally get it.
I know.
Yeah. I mean, I think for me, kind of similar. I was shamefully not terribly interested in the local church. So I think if I'd had it to do over again, I think I had this feeling that because I was at a Christian college, I was good. But I would have thrown myself into local church life and just cared about my own spiritual development, I think more in that window. But I think my only strength at that time was actual like physical strength. I could bench press 400 pounds and I was pushing cars up and down the room, but that was it.
I was wearing black tights and Doc Martens, man. There was a lot of
physical strength physical strength there, but no, I was bad at like, I wouldn't talk to people. Like I didn't talk in the classroom. I was deathly afraid of like Taylor kids and Taylor. And if I had to speak in a classroom, my face would get all red and I'd get all sweaty and I'd start overthinking. It was a real mess.
I could have benefited from some of that too.
Yeah, no, it was not great though. There's a part of me that wishes I could go back and redo college.
Oh man.
I feel like if I could do it now, I would have had a much greater time and B like would have gotten more out of it, you know?
Yeah.
But
yeah, I mean the things that we would redo.
Well, yeah, that's right.
I mean, and a lot of it is just like attitude.
No, that's right. Yeah, I mean, for sure.
Like enjoying the things that you were pushing too hard in, mm-hmm. that you were kind of miserable.
Yeah. And you're putting all of your like persona stock in life and this one absolutely. Thing that's it's not going to fulfill you.
Yeah.
And I just kind of needed somebody back then to say, you know what, this is not going to make you happy. So
you know what's weird you
invest
say that,
in
see,
some of these other things.
Would you have listened?
No. But
you know what,
it still would have been nice to
that's
hear.
Why that's yeah. why I don't hold on to a lot of regrets because I think back and I'm like, if 1,000 wise people had given me the same piece of wise advice,
yeah,
I would have been certain that all of them were wrong.
It just depends on the person, though, too. Right?
No, that's true.
Like,
yeah.
I always feel like if I would have had the right like dude in my life, some kind of a mentor that I respect. I had some guys that were like that.
Yeah.
But I feel like I didn't have, I was always running at a deficit of that.
Yeah.
And if I would have had somebody that just would have like, this is going to sound mopey, like cared enough about me to like dive in and go, let's talk about your life.
Yeah.
Like, what do you want to do? What are you aiming for? How can I help?
Where are you
how,
placing your hopes?
The
you
whole
know,
deal.
That whole
and,
thing.
And there was
yeah.
some of that. There were pockets of that because I was still in the local church. But dude, that's a weird time even to be in the local church, right? Because you really are discovering yourself. You're trying to find out what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
But you are taking advice piecemeal, right? Like, because if it doesn't fit, you're totally misunderstood. Everybody's misunderstood at that age, right?
Yeah.
So if somebody's not completely locked into what you're doing, you're just saying, well, dude, you just don't understand what I'm aiming for.
Yeah.
So like that advice is not necessarily bad advice, but you're not, you don't really know what I'm trying to do.
Yes.
So it doesn't really apply. And what you realize later is, oh, that totally applies. That 100%.
You're like, oh, he took that straight out of Proverbs. And
yeah,
100%. It applies to everybody.
That was actually scripture. I don't know why I was saying that didn't apply.
No, I know it.
I don't like that one.
You were quoting the Psalms. Why did I just refute all of that?
So real quick, one last question, and then we'll take a little break. What do we miss about life then? So when you think about life then, you know, would have been late 90s, early 2000s for you, mid 90s for me, late 70s for you.
I appreciate that.
No. What do you miss about life?
I'm not even doing these next two episodes. Go ahead.
Pipe.
Okay, so I think about this a lot, man.
No, I know. Me too.
There was and this is not the case for everybody, so let me qualify that.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a profound lack of complication in my life.
Yeah.
Due to the fact that, you know, I was just one guy doing one thing.
Yeah.
And it was before you had this life where there's all these things shooting in and out of it. You could say, well, that's self-induced. Okay, well, everything's self-induced. You know, a lot of things are self-induced. But there was what I loved about it was just like it was the lack of complication, and it was the fact that you were it was a false hope.
Yeah.
But your whole life was hinging on hope.
I know.
Because you were like, I want to do this. I think I can get there. What if, what if, what if? And so, like, it was kind of the juice that kept you going. Now, again, it was, you know, as you grow more spiritually mature, you realize, well, I mean, it was, you know, it was a bit of a Trojan horse. And
yeah, stuff, right.
But it was very streamlined.
Yeah.
Because there were no responsibilities in your life, and you could just focus on one thing. And at some point that ends, and it can never go back.
Yeah. Yeah. And the internet came, and it kind of brought with it the expectation that you could know everybody and do everything. And I think,
yeah, and that was all kind of what we talked about on the show last week. Like, yeah, there was that sense of like everything was still very analog, and
yeah, you're anticipating the date with your lady.
Things. It's, yeah, not right, constant conversation.
Right.
You have to make plans to meet up with people because there's no in between. Like, yeah, we can figure this out last minute. There's no last minute stuff. So there was something kind of pure about it that, yeah, was, I mean, it's all you knew. So
dude, you're using maps. Like, part of my job.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
When I lived in India, I worked for a radio station, and part of my job was like driving a big van all over the city for like these promotions, and I didn't know where I was going.
Did
I
had face in a map.
Yeah, I had my face in a map, and I'm, yeah, like, I could take, you know.
I know. It was actually the one thing you felt like you were good at.
Well, and there was a sense of achievement, yeah, to it, where it's like, oh, I successfully drove the van to the south, yeah, side, you know.
Like, look, I'm practically a math genius.
I'm a real man, you, right, know, yeah, yeah, I'm really getting
who
it done
college
here.
College? I can do math on a map.
Exactly.
Right.
No,
I'll go to seminary three times instead.
I miss that, too. I miss the juice that comes from false hopes, you know, like, yeah. Like, you are anticipating things at such a high level.
I wish I could say that I don't have any false hopes anymore, but I was just talking to Big M literally this morning on our drive up, and I was like, I just got to get rid of the 19 false hopes that are still lingering,
dude,
from,
see,
like 20
so
years
now this
ago.
This is a fascinating thing, though, about you. I think one of the more interesting things about you is that you still do have the false hopes. Yeah. I don't. Like, yeah, I've disabused myself of it, and there's a part of me that misses it. Like, truly,
yeah.
I see you getting jazzed for these books that are going
to
sell 4 copies, and I'm like,
I mean,
gosh, that's
yourself,
sweet,
man.
You know?
Yeah, I would like it if Ted would speak for himself. Are you guys with me?
It's kind of cute, though, man. You're getting all fired up for it, and, you know, I miss it. Like,
false hopes?
I have false hopes. You know, shout out false hopes.
He had false hopes.
Exactly. I like it. I like it. We got to do a little singing tonight. Yeah, like, yeah. Huh? All right, Pipe, what do you miss about life then? And then we'll give these fine people a break. Well,
I mostly am fascinated by the fact that you guys define that period of life by this. I mean, we've talked about this before. I think we wrote about it in the Happy Rant book. But these,
I wish
all
I could
these,
remember what we wrote about.
All of
Happy
these
Rant
dreams
book.
For the future, I had none.
Yeah, that's fascinating.
I mean, I wasn't hopeless. I just sort of was like, life's going to be fine. Why? Because I'm going to do fine at life. But I had zero picture of, I had no ambition.
Like, you're
zero
like, I'm
going to
be the president of Bethlehem Seminary. So you just like knew that you were owning that.
So let me ask you a question about that.
I don't want that then, now, or ever.
Dude, foundational to my life and probably foundational to yours. Tell me if this is true or not. I spent a lot of time driving around, and in the driving around time, I was listening to music.
The driving around time was hugely shaping.
The driving around time was hugely shaping because I'm listening to music and I'm dreaming about my life.
It's all fantasy.
It's all fantasy,
there's
dude.
There's no dialogue.
Yep.
There's no interaction.
I'm the hero.
It's
I'm good at talking fantasy. in those fantasies.
You have nothing,
yeah,
to do with,
yeah,
fantasy.
Well, but you're thinking about your life and you're 100%. Thinking about your lady and you're thinking about, oh, where are we going to live? What's it going to look like? What am I going to be doing?
Yeah, 100%.
So you're telling me you didn't do this. Like, what did you think about,
no,
when you were driving around?
None of what you just said.
Yeah. I really want to know what the driving around looked
like. Resonates with me in the slightest.
Yeah.
Pipe, was there, I mean, yeah.
Dude, I miss driving around like that. Sometimes I'll drive around now.
Just to drive around.
Tell me if you do this.
I don't do it. I'm in a small town. I get to everything.
I don't even
get to the chorus of,
yeah,
a,
you
song.
Yeah, right, you're getting halfway through the first verse and you're
there.
The first
verse, yeah. I've arrived.
See,
I've arrived at Dunkin' Donuts.
I got a little more of a drive in my area. I'm getting like two and a half songs,
yeah,
down,
no,
on
that's
my commute.
Great. That's killing.
But it, and I try to do it, right? I try, yeah, sometimes to do the dreaming and the envisioning, but it doesn't work like,
well,
it,
no,
used,
it's,
to.
Yeah, it's, you're, yeah, doing, I mean, unless you're like me and you have,
yeah, false hopes. So, Pipe, I want to push you on this. What did you think about when you were driving around? Like, current things, current events?
Pipe's like, I didn't have a thought. Pipe's like, I didn't think.
Do you think about girls? No, were you like, is she going to say yes this weekend to go
same,
out with me?
The same is true today as was then. Like, driving is turn my brain off time.
Okay.
I don't think.
Can you tell me
about
how does one do that?
I'm not like processing through stuff while I drive.
How does one not process something at all? I'm like, I'm processing four other things right now as I'm talking to you guys.
Are you a big phone call guy when you're driving? Are you? Getting somebody on the line. You're calling Jared.
No, I don't do phone calls.
Talking some hopes and dreams with him.
No,
doing a little,
hard
little,
no
big,
for that
little vision.
That's
no.
Turning
vision
brain
work?
On.
No?
No, zero.
Yeah. No, so
I haven't talked on the phone literally in 14 years.
Dude, I hate talking.
It's like
so
stressful.
Much.
Like, why is somebody calling?
Yeah.
That's not what we use
Boomers.
These things for.
Yeah. Y'all made me lose
a
my
phone
train
call
of
means one thing. Oh. Something's wrong.
Bad news. Somebody died.
Yeah, something's wrong.
I was way more extroverted at that point in life than I am now. Once you have small children, your extroversion level diminishes because they suck all the energy out of you. Mm-hmm. So that's shifted.
Yeah.
But at that point, I just was constantly looking for people to hang out with. So
all right. Well, that's legit.
Which is part of the reason why, like, driving and all of the dreaming and whatever, like, it was basically on or off. Yeah. So it was like people on, alone, off.
Interesting.
And the only thing that I can think of that I really miss is how easy it was to make real friends.
Yeah.
Particularly in the Christian college environment, it's like a petri dish for friendships. They're like, here, we're just going to throw a bunch of you in there and see what grows. And
dude,
some of it's awful and some of it's really cool.
I miss hanging out doing nothing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, just sitting around in a dorm room, like, throwing a Nerf football back and forth and talking about who knows what until all hours. But just to this day, some of the friends who I count my closest are friends who I made when I was 18, 19, 20.
Mm-hmm.
And
you're still tight with them?
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, geography makes it harder to be as tight, but it's the kind of thing when we end up in the same place, we can pick up right where we left off, that kind of thing. It's hard to make friends as a grown-up. You know, it just doesn't, it's not
well, it's
near,
just
it's not,
it just looks different. It has to look different.
Yeah. But I mean, like, but in college, like, I remember first week in school, I met a guy, like, on the dorm elevator, struck up a conversation, something about books, because it was Whedon. We had something in common. And within a week, we were tight friends. And by the end of college, like, we were standing up in each other's weddings. We keep up now.
Yeah.
His wife was in Nashville for a conference recently and came and visited the church and, like, you know, and so came and said hi and all of this stuff. And I'm like, this friendship develops as easily as,
like,
hey.
It was accidental.
Yeah. It was like, hey, have you heard of this author? And, like, all of a sudden, best friends. I mean, it's like that scene from Step Brothers. Like, did we just become best friends?
Yeah.
And yes.
Step Brothers, Mazzy.
Yes, you did. And it was that dumb and that easy.
Yeah, I love how he just said, like, he met a guy. He met a guy.
You met a guy. Yeah. Classic. We met a lot of guys over the years, baby, in this business. You know, a lot of guys promising a lot of things.
A lot of guys promising a lot of things. Hey, I think we've promised each other a lot of things.
We've promised each other, and we've come through on a lot of them.
Have my promises come true? Have they?
I mean, yeah. If the promise was... See, you're going to do a book with me that's going to sell 12 copies, then yes, you've been very trustworthy in that regard.
I'm tired of the hype on that. It's sold more than 12.
The problem with live shows is that when you guys do this, I can't do anything else.
Yeah.
When we're recording at home,
grab your phone, Pipe.
I can do anything else I want while you guys do whatever this is.
You get a lot
is.
Done on that thing, as it
yeah,
turns
100%.
Out.
Yeah, 100%.
I have answered so many emails, text messages, doodled. Like,
dude, the happy rant is the most productive time of my day.
Written half a book.
Literally the most productive time
dude,
of my day.
Dude, I used to open my mail on the
stuff.
Program.
Oh, 100%.
Remember that? Yeah.
I finished writing my sermons.
Unload the dishwasher
the
a little
emails,
bit.
All the emails. Dishwasher.
Those sermons are really vibrant.
Clean the house.
You do it when we start talking sports. He's like, sermon points.
100%.
I don't know if the sermons have points or if it's like free-flowing thought or whatever.
You know what? I got a promise to make to these fine people.
Yeah, we got
to
shut this
That
down.
We're going to wrap the app and we're going to give them a nice break. They're going to have some nice snacks and they're going to come back refreshed and full of life because these are beautiful people, dude. They're beautiful
Thanks
people.
Thanks for coming out, guys.
For coming out. Yeah, thank you for coming out.
Two more apps. That wasn't a sign-off.
Give yourselves a hand.
That sounded like a sign-off the way I said that.
What's that?
That sounded like a sign-off the way
I
said that.
Yeah, you do. You sound like a sign-off. Ladies and gentlemen, you know what we've done. We've done what we always do on this program. We've wandered to and fro. Yeah, I'm fumbling. I've only been doing this for a decade.
Oh, my gosh, man.
Our audio guy can cut
that
out.
I wonder why we have paid that editor so much money, man, on a weekly.
Folks.
I wonder why we don't make any money on this show.
We've done what we always do on this program, and that we've wandered to and fro throughout several topics. And until next time.
We want to take a moment to thank the team at Life Audio for partnering with us on this podcast. Be sure to go to lifeaudio.com and take a look at the other podcasts in their network. They've got shows about prayer, Bible study, parenting, and more. Hey, listeners, these last three episodes of the Happy Rant podcast are brought to you by our longtime partner and good friends at Visual Theology. If you visit visualtheology.church, you can see the full array of resources they offer for Bible study, for Bible teaching. So if you are you're a Bible teacher, you're a youth minister, you're a college minister, you homeschool your kids, or you just you invest a lot in family discipleship or your own personal growth, they offer amazing resources that put deep biblical and theological truths into visually captivating and clear expressions so that you can begin to see what the words on the page express in the Bible. So it just helps the Bible come to life. It helps a lot of innocuous things spring forth. It helps you make connections in Scripture you wouldn't have otherwise made. And the designs are spectacular. So again, visit visualtheology.church. They have memberships, so if this is something that you want to use on an ongoing basis, you can do so for your classroom, for your the ministry at your church, whatever it is you've got going. You can make an individual purchase of a book, of a poster, of curriculum. They offer a full array. Be sure to check them out. They have offers for discounts on your first purchase as well. So visualtheology.church, be sure to check them out.
Hey friend, I'm Brooke McLaughlin, host of the Everyday Prayers podcast, a ministry of million praying moms, and I'm here to invite you to partner with God for the hearts of your children on the daily. Our goal at Everyday Prayers is to help moms understand and pray God's word. Join us each weekday as we share insights from God's word for today's Christian mom. Tune in to the Everyday Prayers podcast in your favorite app or by visiting lifeaudio.com.